The Old Testament had five main types of sacrifices or offerings: the burnt offering, grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, and the trespass offering. Each of these sacrifices involved certain elements, either an animal or produce from the field. But these Old Testament sacrifices were a shadow of things to come. The reality is found in Christ. The sacrifices pointed forward to the work of Christ, who fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system by offering the perfect and final sacrifice. So we no longer offer animals or grains or spices or oils or flour. We offer ourselves. We don't give God something that is external to us. We give Him us. And thankfulness, which is the theme that we've been discussing in this season, is an important aspect of this offering. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. In the Old Testament, one of the offerings was a peace offering, which included a thanksgiving offering. And it was unique because it wasn't connected with any particular holiday or recurring ceremony. It was something given voluntarily. It wasn't compelled. People gave it from a willing heart. The New Testament talks about giving God ourselves. It should be something that occurs all the time, and it should come from a place of willingness and thankfulness. We're going to examine a few scriptures to see this more in depth. First, let's go to the book of Romans. In the first few chapters, Paul focuses on mankind's desperate need of righteousness. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, Paul characterizes a person who is far from God as being ungrateful, idolatrous, and disobedient. Verse 21 says that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So God gave them over to their own lusts of their hearts. He gave them up to their unnatural and vile affections. They were filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, and more. In Romans, Paul lays out a case for why man desperately needs God's righteousness, and then he explains how God has provided righteousness and justification by faith. A simple definition of righteousness is being blameless before God. Faith is counted for righteousness because it is a turning away from self-righteousness, which actually is an illusion because we aren't righteous in ourselves. And it's a turning to Christ's death as the only adequate basis for pardon and as a source of moral power. We can stand blameless before God only because of Christ's death, which enables His righteousness to be imputed or ascribed to us. By faith, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us for the purpose of producing righteousness in us. I want to look at the well-known verse of Romans 12:1. Paul exhorts his readers with the following: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Up to this point in his letter, he has been leading the reader by talking about mankind's desperate need of righteousness and how God has made a provision for righteousness through faith. Then just before chapter 12 begins, chapter 11 concludes by saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Paul closes chapter 11 as a climax of his whole argument that God is merciful and benevolent. He's a good God. And because all things are of him, through him, and to God be the glory forever. Based on this and all of the other previous points Paul has mentioned about God, Paul now takes it a step further in chapter 12, verse 1, to make a practical application. What should we do with all of this knowledge and understanding of who God is and what he's done for us? We should present our bodies as a living sacrifice because it is our reasonable service. The Greek word that the King James Version translates as service is latria. It comes from a word that means to serve or to worship. So Paul is saying that offering ourselves as a living sacrifice is a reasonable service rendered to God or a way to worship him. Some English Bibles translate this verse as saying that offering our bodies as a living sacrifice is true and proper worship, spiritual worship, or a spiritual service of worship. How do we give back to God because of what he's done for us? We willingly offer ourselves to him, and it's an act of worship. So being a living sacrifice is our service or a form of worship to God. How do we become a living sacrifice? In essence, we dedicate ourselves to God. A sacrifice is something offered to God, and a sacrifice should be clean. For practical purposes, it means that we have to be careful what we take into ourselves. Our senses are our gates. We have to be careful that we do not look upon, listen to, speak, or do evil. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. In this particular scripture, Paul tells us how to achieve this. He says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We shouldn't be conformed to this world and act like people who don't know God, or even worse, act like people who choose not to live for God. At its essence, our life and how we live it is a form of worship to God. And that's why idolatry is so bad. Idols are things that become more important to us than God, and they crowd out God and doing his work. They might be sinful things, or they might just be distractions. And that's why John reminds us not to love the world or anything in the world. We can't serve two masters, the world and God. So if someone loves the world, John tells us that love for the Father is not in them. God offers freedom from the slavery of sin. The Old Testament law couldn't deliver from the power of sin, but the Spirit can. By being born again, we are in Christ Jesus, and he has made us free from the law of sin and death. Since we are dead to sin, it should not reign in our body. We should not let our bodies be instruments of unrighteousness, but yield ourselves to God and his righteousness. So rather than being conformed to the evil influences of this world, we should be transformed by being under the influence of the Spirit. And being transformed doesn't mean that we just outwardly conform to an apostolic way of life. It's something that happens to our heart fully and completely. There is an inward surrender that is then reflected outwardly. And transformation does not happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. It begins with repentance, in which we die to our old self and then bury our old self in baptism. Then we are filled with the Holy Ghost to give us a new life in Christ. But it's just the beginning. Every day we need to consciously and with intentionality dedicate ourselves and commit ourselves to God's purpose. And it's a sacrifice. There are places I don't go, things I don't do, things I don't watch, and things I don't listen to, because I am God's servant and focused on his work, and his Holy Spirit dwells within me to help me. We surrender our will to obey his will for us. It's a daily consecration. By following the leading of the Holy Ghost every day, I can discern God's good and acceptable and perfect will for me. And then we pour our energy into service to God through or by God's grace, favor, mercy, and compassion. We should present or offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. Christ gave his life for us, so we are supposed to give our life to him, not by literal dying, but by dying to our own will daily. We sacrifice our will to fulfill his and to serve him in love and devotion out of gratitude. Gratitude plays a big part in this. Remember back in Romans chapter 1, Paul depicts someone with ingratitude, idolatry, and disobedience as being far from God. In chapter 12, Paul echoes some of the same language from chapter 1, but offers a very different model of how to live. Chapter 12 talks about a life that is holy and acceptable. Thanksgiving is a core aspect of this comparison between the two ways to live. The author of the book, The Grumbler's Guide to Giving Thanks, says, "If Romans describes the ingratitude that characterizes those who refuse to worship him, Romans 12 calls us to offer all of ourselves as living sacrifices to him who deserves all praise and thanksgiving. We either offer our life, day, and body to God or to false gods. Choosing gratitude or ingratitude plays a large role in which path we'll take. Everything that we are and have is found in Christ, so Paul admonishes his readers to live their whole life with gratitude. We want to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. Another scripture in which Paul conveys a similar idea is Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Giving thanks isn't something extra that we do. It's part of doing everything in the name of Jesus. We live all of life under Jesus' lordship with gratitude and through gratitude. And this is part of how we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. So what does this sacrifice look like? Hebrews chapter 13 gives us a clue. Verses 15 and 16 say, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Remember how I mentioned at the beginning that there was an Old Testament peace offering that included a thanksgiving offering? The same word from Leviticus 7:12 is used here in Hebrews 13, but here we're not supposed to bring fruit of the earth, but the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks is really an acknowledgement of God. Our praises don't make God greater because he's already the ultimate. Our praises simply acknowledge the truth of how great God is. Our lips are offered like bullocks on the altar. When we offer thanks to God and acknowledge what he's done for us and how good he is, that thanksgiving and praise is a form of sacrifice. It's like putting our lips on the altar as a sacrifice, and the praise that comes out of them is an offering to God. And to this thankfulness, we should do good. It isn't enough to thank God, but gratitude should manifest itself in actions of doing good, in offering our lives as a sacrifice. To sacrifice an offering in the Old Testament was no small thing, and neither is this. We are not called just to make an offering, but to be the offering. We no longer merely give a sacrifice, but we live as a sacrifice. And why? When we truly acknowledge and understand God's goodness, mercy, and love, it's not just our reasonable service, but it's a natural form of worship. That's why thankfulness, which is the theme that we've been discussing, is an important part of this offering. Gratitude is the proper posture of our heart and mind in order to willingly be a living sacrifice. God wants us to live for Him not out of duty, although it is our reasonable service, but out of love and out of gratitude. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.